I'm Scott.
I'm Whitney.
And this is episode 94, Frankly, My Dear. This week's episode is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions and their short film, In the Goodbye, which is now for sale. Actress Alexa Yames, who was just nominated for Best Actress at the Action on Film Festival for her role in Dirt Cheap Therapy, has shined in comedy, but now you can watch her in a dramatic short film. Besides the short, the DVD is loaded with bloopers, interviews, and audio commentaries, all just for $8, which includes shipping. Go to shadowdogproductions.com/itg.html. That's for inthegoodbye.html.
I always want to buy things that have free shipping. Even if those things are, like, more expensive than it would be if
I get... It's a principle?
Yeah. It is, like, because on 8 Books, they'll have books, like, Good Earth Books in these used bookstores that don't charge the shipping. Sometimes theirs isn't the cheapest one, but I always go for it. Because I'm like, that is convenient.
I feel that was, like, the big downfall of eBay. At least for me, it was like, everything was a penny.
But that's a downfall
for
Amazon.
But then it was $23 shipping.
Yeah.
Because you could set your own. At least with Amazon, I know how much. It's standard.
But it's like, the standard is not what it costs to ship it.
No, but you do have to factor that into it. Yeah. But at least it's standard. I hated, like, clicking a link, being excited, and realize, like, oh, $25 shipping.
Yeah, that's so sad. Yeah. Especially when you've already, like... bid on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, no!
So go buy In the Goodbye.
Go buy their movie.
For free shipping. They don't screw you.
It's a good thing.
Alright, and what are we doing on this week's episode? I just said this week's like we've been doing it weekly.
Is this not, like, aren't we just like a few days late?
No.
This is a whole week late again.
So, okay, let's talk about that for a second.
Alright.
We have been very busy. I'm a rapper now, which sounds like a joke, but it's not. I put on my first concert last night, and it went really, really well. We had like over 100 people come to the venue, even with the U of U BYU football holy war
going on.
Which the U of U won.
Yeah, we won the holy war. Your God is false.
And, now we're back. My concert is done. That's sort of my last thing on the to-do list. So, we're back. We'll get a
I don't think we should promise anything.
No. We have done it before.
Anyway, we're reviewing VHL, and then we are doing our top...
You want to try that one more time?
What is it called?
It's VHS.
Oh, VHS. Right, because it's a tape.
Right. Because that's a thing.
VHS, they were these things that you played in VCRs.
This is a film podcast. They know what they are.
Lots of letters. And then we are doing our top 5 movies from Instant Watch.
Which is the complete opposite of a VHS.
Right.
Cool. Stick around. Whitney, who's our first writer-inner?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Uncle Thomas, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. Hey, FMD. Downer endings. I got 3. One made me tear up. Easy writer. One made me have a good old full cry in the movie theater. Radio flyer. And the last is Grave of the Fireflies, which, like Whitney, made me start to choke up when she started talking about it.
Yeah, it's so sad.
I don't even know if I want to see it, because it sounds too sad.
I don't know if I can watch it again. It's so good, though. Like, his ability to portray kids in that movie,
whoever directed it,
sorry, but it's, like,
it's spot on. It's not Miyazaki, but it's from his company.
Yeah, it's still his Studio Ghibli.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he says, I'd like to add The Abyss as a dishonorable mention.
Oh.
Great movie that wrote itself into a corner, so they thought the only way out of it was to end the movie with aliens underwater. Awful.
Yeah.
I have never seen The Abyss. I've seen probably half of it.
I don't hate the ending as much as a lot of people because I love aliens, but...
You're like, you, like, started in a corner and found your only way out. Next up is Heather Adair, who is our You Choose winner this week.
Heather Adair. She's my BFF.
That's right. And for those of you who don't know what
she's so smart and pretty, and I love her.
Oh, that's great. You're a little Leslie Nope.
Oh.
She gets to pick any movie that she'd like to have us review in an upcoming You Choose episode, which I swear is coming soon.
Mm-hmm. All right, she says, I really liked your top five lists of movies with sad endings. When Scott was talking about the ending of American History X, it reminded me of the ending of Sin Nombre, which might be one of my favorite movies, sad ending or not. The main character has decided to turn his life around, but the consequences of his earlier actions prevent him from doing so. The movie's beautifully shot and very engaging. My younger sister was 16 when I watched it with her, and she said it was the first time she'd really realized the difference between liking a movie for pure entertainment versus liking a movie because of its quality filmmaking. I really recommend it. I haven't seen Sin Nombre yet.
I haven't either.
It's been on our instant watch probably since it came out.
I know, and I bet if we watch it, it would make our list.
I know. I think it's time we start watching some good movies and not so much wrestling, Scott.
So email us at franklymydearpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this episode or anything movie-related. We'll put your name into a hat, and we'll draw it, and if we pick you, you get to tell us any movie you'd like us to review. Next up is Jess from real-insight.com and the Real Insight Podcast. Hey guys, Queen of Versailles sounds fascinating. I'll have to check it out. As for downer movies, Cold Mountain, I'm the only one who likes it, but it makes me sad, even with the fake redemptive, it's okay, the love of her life died because he knocked her up first, final scene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would give you
Don't you see Nicole Kidman's... Are we trying to keep this safe for work?
I don't think so.
Bush? Yeah, I was going to say pubes. Don't you see Nicole Kidman's pubes in that?
I don't know. I never saw it.
I think you do.
That ending would give you a panic attack.
What?
The, like, don't worry, the love of your life died, but at least you're pregnant.
I know. Those are always the worst ending to me.
Also.
I'm like, oh, great, now I gotta raise this little shit by myself.
Mm-hmm, because this movie takes place in a time without, like, ready abortions.
Right. Yeah, I either have to risk, like, pretty much certain death, or... Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the real thing about that movie, Waitress.
Yeah, I hate that movie. We've already talked about it.
But I'm just saying...
Yeah.
What movie did that... What year did that movie take place?
I don't know.
Well, it was present day.
Oh, right. She had some choices.
She had some choices.
Yeah. Well, she didn't feel like she did. That movie was horrible.
Jess also writes,
oh my gosh.
House of Sand and Fog.
Pause.
House of Sand and Fog. It never stops being sad, but it's how I discovered my love for the mom or scientist working the mutant cure in X-Men 3. Great show, Jess. Do you want to try that name?
That's not a real name, right? I thought she, like, on purpose, like, she actually doesn't know the name, so she just put a bunch of letters. Sheree... Agashaloo?
You know what? Before we move on, I'm going to Google it.
It's worth a Google. It's so long when you I just want to see if it's a real name.
Just want to see if it's a real name. Okay. If it's a real person.
Oh, it takes so long.
Yeah, real person.
Real person.
Oh, you know what? I've seen her in things. She's really good. Okay. She's really good. She's Iranian.
Well,
Oops. Rachel from the Real Insight Podcast and real-insight.com writes... Sorry, it's been a while since I sent feedback, but I always listen and you were greatly missed this summer. Rachel, you never have to apologize. We both listen to your podcast always and almost never write in.
I know. It's because I'm on the bus and then by the time I can get to a place to write in an email because I don't have a smartphone, I forget.
She says, but I always listen and you were greatly missed this summer. Cleaning the house isn't the same without you. I haven't seen Queen of Versailles, but here are some films with super bummer endings. Spoiler free in case you haven't seen them, though you probably have. 5. Atonement. Yep.
Yep.
4. The Mist.
Oh, that was on my list because it's just so pointless, the ending of that. It's hard.
3. The Virgin Suicides.
Uh-huh.
Number 2. Pan's Labyrinth. And number 1, Requiem for a Dream.
Pan's Labyrinth kind of has that redemptive quality to it, that where you can believe that that the fantasy world is a real world, and that she actually is now, has become an immortal at the end of it, right? She doesn't have to have died. So I feel like that one isn't as sad since it has the either or.
And have you seen Requiem for a Dream?
No, but I've heard about the ending, like, in detail. Heather Conover told me, like, every part of it.
I haven't seen it, and I don't know the ending. And people keep telling me it's the most messed up movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that, like, it's probably going to be dated now. And if I watch it for the first time now, it's just not going to affect me like I think. And I just...
Well, then maybe that's why you should watch it. Now you shouldn't be afraid of it anymore.
I know. There are almost too many to choose from, but these came to my mind pretty quickly. I beg of you, please don't flip the coin and list your happiest film endings. Not sure if I could handle all that sunshine, but I'm sure you two could spin it into something hilarious.
We didn't even think about that.
No, never would have come up.
Nope.
Although what I would like to do a top five ways we'd fix sad endings.
What do you mean, fix?
Like Waitress.
Oh, abortion.
Abortion. Must would be Waitress, abortion.
Waitress is supposed to have a happy ending, though.
Right. And really, yeah, the bad guy's gone. She just gets a happy time with her life. And
yeah, making pies has an unwanted baby.
Right. Still, though.
Okay, keep going.
Courtney Small from Big Thoughts of a Small Mind writes, "Hey, FMD. Glad to hear that The Queen of Versailles delivered everything I hoped it would. I really wanted to see the film at Hot Docs this past April, but I could not fit it into my schedule. Hopefully I can get to the film in the next few weeks." We wanted to get in and see it at Sundance, and it was crazy. Like, nobody was getting in.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Scott, I listened to your album over the weekend. Oh, did I mention I'm a rapper now?
Yeah, you mention it every time.
And I will continue to mention it every time. Okay. Here are my favorite tracks at the moment. Push Off the Wall, Scott Here, Mikey Was the Best, and Moving On. When can we expect to see a video for one of the songs? YouTube worked wonders in regards to getting music heard by a larger audience. Heck, Wax got signed after his simple one-take video for New Crack became a YouTube hit.
I didn't understand any of that. Keep going.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Cheers, Courtney. Well, Courtney, if I'm going to keep going, I would have to say that Push Off the Wall is one of my favorite tracks on the album. Atheist, Thanks for the Burgers, can be found at 801atheist.bandcamp.com.
For free.
For free. Kyle Lamont writes, no, thank what? You for listening. I want to thank him sincerely. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
And the concert, if you had to review the concert, would you say it was awesome? Or would you say it was great?
This is a music review show.
Ooh. Ouch.
No, it was awesome. You did a really good job. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. Kyle Lamont from Test Patterns writes,
Hi, Scott and Whitney. Thanks for your Queen of Versailles review. I had no idea that this movie even existed. I've been out of the documentary news loop this summer. I'm looking forward to seeing that one now. Beasts of the Southern Wild, The Master, and Lincoln are also on my must-see list. Us too. Well, Lincoln, not so much, but the rest, yeah. I enjoyed your top five downer endings list, too. Cronenberg's version of The Fly definitely has a sad ending. I love that movie. The 1958 movie with Vincent Price is not as sad or unnerving. No, it's almost like, it's fine. And then you see him as a fly. Like, you see Vincent Price's head on a fly body, and he's like, help me! And then they kill it. It's pretty silly. Big Fish is great. Watch it again, Scott. It's an excellent father and son story and one of Tim Burton's more focused movies post-2000. All the weird side characters don't detract from the story's emotional core at the end. I also dig the original book by Daniel Wallace. Oh, I always wondered about that. Oh yeah, Grave of the Fireflies is so damn sad. Beautiful film. It's coming out on Blu-ray on November 20th. Nice.
But I don't want to watch Big Fish again.
You should. It's really good. And it's romantic.
Email us at franklymydearpodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you thought about this episode. We're going to move right into movie news. Stick around.
You on the mark.
This week in movie news, I have four things I want to talk about. The first is that G4 is going to be rebranded. So originally there was Tech TV, which focused on internet, computers, technology. Then G4 was created to focus on video games and geek culture. G4 eventually swallowed Tech TV and enjoyed its reign as the geekiest channel on TV.
G4 was that one where they got like that hot girl who's not actually a geek, but she's like, I'm so geeky, I've seen Star Wars.
She has a name.
Yeah, what's her name?
Olivia Munn.
Is she the one dating Jason Sudeikis, or is that Olivia Wilde?
That's Olivia Wilde.
Oh, okay.
She's the one in the new Paul Schrader movie.
Olivia Munn is.
Yes.
The nerd.
Yes.
I'm gonna put air quotes on that. No one can see it.
Right.
That girl is not a nerd.
She is fine.
Yeah, she's not a nerd at all. So I hate it when you say that.
fire.
I really hate that. I don't know. Where did you get that from?
Some comedian, Pablo Francisco.
Right? Yeah, I don't
oh,
like
God,
it.
I tried to go back and rewatch that. I am a very different person from when I used to be. Mm-hmm. When I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have not done that little song thing in maybe 3 years.
No, you do it all the time.
No, I haven't done it in like 3 years.
No, you do it all the time. And you say noise. Like, where is that from? What
noise.
Stupid comedian is that from?
No, that's from a movie. Oh, fuck, what movie
it.
Is that? Noise.
Ethan, the money. Now that is a catchphrase.
You know what your worst movie catchphrase is?
What?
Scott, put away the dishes. Scott, what are you doing? Scott, I have to study. Man, I don't know what movie that's from, but it pisses me off. Oh,
are we that stereotypical?
Just you are. So G4. Scott, clean the linens.
Noise. Fine, Hot Pocket. Caliente Pocket.
That's Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, I know. You got like a lot of them.
Man. Yeah, that is a good one.
You have some from like Saturday Night Live back in the day too.
It's so dusty in here.
Wait, when did I turn into like a Jewish woman? Like,
the day I met you, apparently. Can we talk about G4? I really want to talk about G4.
I turned into like an old Jewish grandma in your mind.
Maybe it's your glasses, hairdo, and style. I don't know.
That might be. I would think more like an old Jewish man with that, though.
Great. So, Chief, God damn you.
This is a disaster.
I don't really care about G4 anymore.
I never cared about G4.
Well, honestly.
I never did.
Honestly, I only cared about it a little
bit.
Okay,
what about it?
It's getting rebranded to be more, quote, GQ. So they're going to move away from geeky stuff and make it more about,
isn't
like, high-end men's fashion and yeah.
That is a switch.
It's a switch, so yeah. I don't know. But I'm excited to see somebody else try to, like, fill that spot if they do.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Number two, Jason Blum, the producer for Paranormal Activity, is building a haunted house.
Cool.
It's called the Blum House of Horrors and will open in Los Angeles on October 6th. And turn the historic Variety Arts Theater into a rundown 6-story vaudeville house.
I want to go.
Uh-huh.
I want to go.
It will close after the Halloween season, but may come back next year, or maybe even be worked into a movie or a TV show.
Mm.
He's got a big, long backstory for it, but
that's
I think
awesome.
That's awesome. Number three, Ty West, the director of House of the Devil, The Innkeepers, and one of the VHS segments that we'll talk about, is going to be directing a movie called The Sacrament, which will be produced by Eli Roth, who did
so
Hostel and Cabin Fever. Filming is beginning later in this year in Georgia.
I like Ty West. I like his slow burns. It always, at the end, is a little bit disappointing. Like, remember Innkeepers at the end, it's like you see the ghost bride, and it's all CG, and it's not so scary anymore.
Right.
But the buildup is so terrifying. It's worth it.
But his segment of VHS was awesome.
Which one was his?
That was the one with the couple in the hotel room.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was awesome.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Not if you're a lesbian, though. Then it wasn't so awesome. A little homophobic, I think.
Number four. Fox has purchased a new show from J.J. Abrams and J.H. Wyman. They've worked together on Fox's Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've heard of it.
You love Fringe?
Maybe you haven't.
What is Fringe about?
Oh, I have no idea.
I have no idea about that one.
No clue. I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about Bones.
Burn Notice.
And, oh yeah, Burn
Suits.
Notice. Suits. Two Jews in a Spa.
What is that one called again?
I think it's called, like, Critical Condition or... Oh, you know it. It's that USA show, the two Jews that go to the spa all the time. Like,
put the cucumbers over their eyes.
That's what we call that show. But
you're sounding really racist.
Man,
this
we are
episode.
Really. You know what though? It's across the board, and I feel that makes it okay. We're
what do you
really,
mean? I feel
really,
like we've just focused on Jews.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's been a lot of that.
I feel like since you look Jewish and people wish you Happy Hanukkah, that it's okay.
I do get a lot of Happy Hanukkahs in the holiday season. Anyway, can we talk about this J.J. Abrams show? Because yes. It sounds awesome. Yes. So Abrams did Lost, Alias, Super 8, like he's done a ton of rad stuff. Felicity,
yeah.
This show is going to be on Fox, and it's title undetermined, but it's in the future where human cops are paired with human-looking android cops.
Why?
That show is going to be awesome.
I want to know why.
Cost-cutting, or...
But you have to have one human.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just the pitch. Okay. I don't know. But remember how good Alien Nation was?
Yeah, you
I'm sort of hoping
Alien
this
Nation.
Will be like Alien Nation with robots instead of aliens.
How many seasons was Alien Nation again?
A lot.
Oh.
It went on for a while.
That was a good one.
And then there were like 4 TV movies.
Yeah, those weren't
fun. And there was the original movie.
Right.
With a different cast. I loved that show. Remember, that was all I watched for like 2 months.
Yeah, I always...
I like
always
burned through
weird.
That show. Yeah. Today, I showed Whitney the opening for... Charlie's Angels, which she had never seen for the first time. Or the second. I had completely forgotten how ridiculous it is, but in a cool way.
Yeah, in like a way that it seems like it knows it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it was also like, I forgot that their backstory was like, 3 girls go through the police academy and they get desk jobs because they're women.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie takes them away from that and makes them like the most badass crime fighters ever.
Yeah.
That's a cool premise for a show. I like that. And next up, we're going to review VHS. Stick around.
Okay, here's the deal. We gotta break into this house, and all we have to do is steal this one VHS tape.
Which one is it?
I don't know, man. Let's just
look at this tape.
It's so special about this tape, anyway.
What the fuck was that?
Hey, no!
You're all gonna fucking die up here.
Winnie feels a little uncomfortable about the Jew jokes.
I do. I feel bad.
You take them back?
Yeah. Sure.
Really?
Or is it worse? Is it worse if I take them back,
I think
or is
if
it
you
better
would,
if I stand
I
by
I think
them?
If you admit guilt, it seems worse.
Oh, I'm not guilty.
I think, well, that didn't... that sounded really guilty.
I'm not guilty. I'm fine.
Are you anti-Semitic?
No.
Have you ever used this podcasting forum to preach anti-Semitic propaganda?
I don't know. I feel like that last segment I did.
But let's be honest. You were not going to watch 2 Jews in a Spa.
Quit calling it that.
No matter what. I don't know the name of that show. But you weren't going to watch it if they were Jewish or not.
Well, no, of course not.
Also, we were not the one to come up with the name 2 Jews in a Spa. So I feel okay about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't invent a lot of racial slurs. Are we okay with using
not
them?
Not on me. What is VHS?
It's a...
That was a stupid
a
way to...
That
was a stupid way to...
goes into a VCR.
What is your favorite curse word?
Yeah.
No,
who
don't answer.
Is
don't
Scott
answer.
Knopf?
We've had enough anti-Semitic remarks on this program.
Okay, so it was this movie, a horror movie that was at Sundance. We've talked about that, how we couldn't get in. Because we were stuck in a storm. But it's on DirecTV now, right? DirecTV?
It's on on-demand.
On-demand, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in 4 segments, sort of couched by a 5th segment, I think. It might be 5 segments couched by a 6th. I'm having a hard time remembering.
Couched by a 6th.
Yeah. So it was 5 different directors that worked together to create this, anthology of horror, which used to be really popular, and then I feel like that Trick or Treat movie tried to do it again. Like, the Stephen King movie Cat Eye, or Trilogy of Terror,
Creepshow,
or The House That Bleeds. All
right.
Those were all, like, segmented shows. Twilight Zone. And then they sort of tried to bring it back with, like, a throwback with Trick or Treat, which was pretty cool. And then this one, but this, all the other ones I've seen are kind of hokey. They like seem like they're for kids on Halloween, and
even though they're
rated R, they're not gory, they're not that terrifying. But this one, it was really modern, and they got like a lot of really creepy directors to have really creepy setups. Like, not all of them paid off, but I felt like this isn't like a anthology of short films like they've ever done before.
And what I like about it was that, I mean, these were from directors that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes when
Ty West.
Exactly. Except, like, when you look at something like the Twilight Zone movie,
uh-huh.
and you can see, like, oh, this is his movie, or this is his movie, and, uh-huh. and like, or you know you're competing with these big giant names, you better, like, try to step it up and make it as broadly popular as possible.
Yeah, but because these are unknowns, they can take more chances and be creepier.
Mm-hmm.
And out there. Some of them are really out there.
Yeah, none of these films, except for possibly the last one.
Mm-hmm. That's the haunted house.
A group of friends go to a Halloween party and find a girl tied up with men standing around her chanting.
Yeah.
And it's some sort of like sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they walk in on that. I don't want to do a lot of spoilers in this.
Okay.
Because I feel a lot of people haven't seen it yet, and it's only on demand.
It'd be a good Halloween movie.
Yeah, this was really entertaining.
Yeah.
But none of them, except for the last film, could be a full-length feature film.
No, not at all.
These were made to be short films, and they really pay off as that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are supernatural. Oh, the first one is extremely violent, where the guys take the girls back to the hotel room.
Yeah.
That one was bananas. That one was, like, pretty crazy.
But all of them were kind of violent. Like, there's the weird one in the woods that has, like, some sketchy digital monster. That one was
the Predator.
Yeah, that one was the least successful of it. Yeah, but that one was really violent. The one in the hotel room was really violent. Like, I don't know. I sometimes you feel like you're watching something that hasn't been overly produced, and I think in horror that is, like, generally a positive thing.
Yeah, and
it makes it scarier.
I wish they would make more of these, because when I go see things that are from, like, the, I think it's, like, the After Dark Festival,
uh-huh.
I can't remember what it's called, like, or, like, the 8 Films to Die For.
Right.
It's just, like, they either don't have the storytelling ability, or they don't have the budget, or they
and
don't have the...
And they're trying to be big budget movies, though.
Right.
Like, Paranormal Activity, he didn't have the budget either, but he worked within his confines instead mm-hmm. of trying to do just, like, a half-assed job of creating some CG monster.
Yeah, a lot of those, like, 8 Films to Die For movies, I feel like on a short format would have been fantastic, but why make a short film when no one's ever going to see it? But get together with 6 of your friends and split up the costs and mm-hmm. split up the ability and then release it with something like this. I think there could be a huge market for something like
that.
That's
a good point, yeah. I mean, it depends on how much they're going to make, right?
Yeah, and especially with horror. I don't know if you could do it with, like, 6 romantic comedies that didn't deserve to be
no,
up there.
No,
because
a romantic comedy is a short film. I mean, I've seen a few, I guess. They're not that successful, I don't think.
I don't know why. They are so formulaic.
Right.
It should be just, like, guy meets girl, girl leaves boy, boy gets her back, happily ever after. Like, you should be able to do that in 10 minutes, always.
Yeah.
She's a maid.
I think
she's
a
businesswoman.
Musicals.
Oh.
6 short musicals.
Yikes.
15 minutes each. That sounds great.
But it's weird because a musical is just sort of made up of short films.
Yeah.
That's the part where, to me, I'm just like...
And it'd be just the good parts. Like how you can, on the Newsies DVD, you can make it so that you skip all the boring talking parts and just go from song to song.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's so good. And then you can also get it so it's karaoke style with the words on the bottom.
Wow. I feel sorry for any parent who had to, like, have their children own that DVD. Like a karaoke version.
It's awesome. I feel like you're not into this right now.
I feel into it.
Really?
I'm a little tired.
So many, like, long pauses where I feel like you're trying to, like, remember what I just said.
just because I'm not listening. It's really hard to have a conversation with somebody you're not listening to.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I'm trying
about.
To do my best. I'm trying to keep it professional. I'm trying not to shine a light on it.
Yeah.
Like you're doing
I
right now.
I feel like shining a light on it is going to be more interesting than our actual review.
Well, let's talk about VHS.
I've been
trying. Because it was really interesting. It was really interesting.
Okay.
One was a misfire. One, it had an okay setup, a couple good jumps, but was a complete misfire, and I didn't care about it at all.
Yeah, but a couple of them were so scary, I was, like, hanging on to you.
So there is...
Which is weird. I never used to be like that. Like, I never used to get, like... I was scared during movies, but I wasn't, like, codependent during movies. And I feel like since I've been married, I've gotten, like, codependent.
I think it's because you have somebody there.
And I'm, like, super comfortable, so I can just be like, I'm scared!
Yeah, if I were gone, you would just watch it, and you'd... like, cry into your pillow or
right.
the couch or, like, you grab the guinea pig and
aww.
Scream at him.
No, I mean, I remember watching movies by myself before and getting scared, but I would never admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I admit it very loudly and vocal about it.
I'm really excited to hear from people who've seen VHS. I'd love to see what they thought. They're like, send us in like their rankings, best to worst,
mm-hmm.
or worst to best if you're feeling crazy, and let us
one
know which ones.
One thing I
want to
talk about with it is that every male character in this movie is like a horrible human being, right? Except for maybe the guys in the last segment.
Yes.
Like it starts out,
yes,
and
that's
it's these
true.
Guys filming each other, like. Molesting girls, like, by finding girls in parking lots and, like, pulling up their shirts in front of a camera, and, like, then there's boys that want to take a drunk girl home, and, like, there's three of them and one of her, so you're like, oh, no, this is gonna happen. There's, like, in every single one, there's these horrible guys. And occasionally there's a couple bad girls,
mm-hmm.
but mostly horrible guys.
Yeah, and the horrible girls are just doing things to horrible boys.
Yeah. So you don't feel bad.
I think the newlyweds, the husband was fine.
He was annoying, though.
He was annoying,
they
but he wasn't.
They were all, like, douches.
Yes.
They were all, like, named Chad.
Yeah.
And, like, wore, like, plaid
douches.
Plaid shirts and Axe body spray. Like, they were terrible.
The doctor in the Skype segment.
Yeah.
Just, these are so hard to give away, like, come up with non-spoiler ways to talk about it, because
yeah.
I could say what happens in one word, and you'd know what I'm talking about. But this, there's a really good segment where a doctor is away at work, and he's talking to his girlfriend through Skype, and he thinks he sees something behind her, and she says, oh, I thought there's somebody else in here. Let me go around and take my webcam around and see if I can't find what it is.
She wanted to keep her eyes closed and have him tell her if there's something there.
Which?
Because she was too scared.
It was so stupid.
Yeah, really stupid.
I just don't even get it. First, turn the lights on before you go into a room.
Mm-hmm. That's a smart
second,
thing to do.
Second, when the craziness starts happening, get out or call the cops or do something.
That said, that was my favorite segment of the whole thing. It was the scariest because of all the darkness and because
yeah.
of the webcam. I thought it was, like, really well acted, too.
And very solid ending.
Yeah.
Probably the best ending of all of them. I'm thinking them through now. I would say that's probably the best ending.
Although the haunted house one is good, too, with the girl that's being sacrificed. That ending is good.
I was surprised that that wasn't Ty West. Like, that wasn't the big name.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Ty West does the one with the
Well, maybe
the
we just don't know enough about, like, independent horror movies. Maybe
I
that isn't the big name.
Maybe, but I looked up the other ones, and I didn't see, like, any, like, oh, he did that. I've at least heard of that. There's a lot of people I haven't heard of.
Which one did Ty West do again? Oh, yeah, the hotel room.
The hotel room.
The couple.
Yeah. The most disturbing thing for me in the entire film was the opening segment.
Me too.
Of,
the molesting.
Yeah,
like the
molesting.
The one that's, like, not horror.
And then it spends, like, 5 straight minutes of watching them, like, take bats and, like, destroy somebody's trailer.
Yeah, they're just, like, the
smashing
worst
windows.
Ever.
It just put, like, a sick knot in my stomach, and it was really effective. It was like watching, like, a Harmony Korine movie.
That's what it felt like, yeah, because it's them, it's so minimalist. It's, like, just guys filming it on a VHS tape, and it looks like a VHS tape. Like, the quality's terrible, and you're just like, oh, these people do this.
I know, it made me, like, not want to see the rest of the movie. I was like, oh, it's this kind of horror movie. It's
that's
like,
what I
this
thought too, but that's not true. Some of them are more produced than others. Some of them are
and some of them are like downright entertaining.
Yeah.
So I fully recommend VHS. Like, this is coming
how
out.
How much did we pay for it to get it? Eight?
Ten. We paid like $10.
$10? Yeah, it's totally worth it. Especially there were two of us.
Uh-huh.
If you got like a group of some people to each pay like $2 and
yeah.
like watch this movie, it's a good group movie setting, I think. Because you don't have to follow things for too long, right?
Exactly.
So if people are talking,
and
it's
if people
easy
aren't
to follow.
Feeling one, it's on to the next one pretty quickly. Yeah, really good. Worth buying on demand, but mm-hmm. I think it'll be on DVD in a couple months.
It's not going to theaters? I thought it was going to theaters in October.
I don't know.
There's so many horror films coming out this October, though, that I don't know if it would.
It's weird.
I don't know if it can compete. Yeah, because some years we don't get any. We get, like, one more Saw movie.
People don't believe me when I tell them that. If you go back and look at what comes out in October, there are not horror movies. Like, horror movies come out, like, in the summer. Like, when teenagers are out and want to go to the movies and they want to go see this stuff.
They usually save, like, one or two for Halloween, and it's usually Saw.
But they're not the best ones.
No.
They're, like, rehashings.
It's usually, and sometimes it's a Paranormal Activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So apparently there's going to be a limited theatrical release October 5th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then you've got, like, The Possessed, or whatever the Dybbuk box one is.
Right.
And you've got, yeah, there's so many coming out.
None of them look, oh, The House at the End of the Street
is
looking good.
Yeah.
We also saw Silent House with Elizabeth Olsen, the one, it was all shot
in one
take.
That was disappointing.
Disappointing. And I feel that The House at the End of the Street is going to be disappointing, too. But I will
but
say.
But strong performances in both, I bet.
I bet so, yeah. I will say that I love the fact that House at the End of the Street, they're going crazy on Twitter because it's hashtag hates. H-A-T-E-S.
Cool.
And I saw that today and I was like, why do they keep doing it? I saw it. That's how dumb I am. I saw the trailer like four times and I was like, hashtag hates. I don't get. All right. That was our review of VHS and a couple other little things. If you've seen it, email us at franklymydearpodcast@gmail.com. And next up, we are going to jump right into our top five movies that are currently on Instant Watch. Stick around. I think we've done this top five once before.
But it's a good one.
It's a good one because these things change so frequently.
And if you have Netflix Instant Watch, which I think a lot of people do, maybe even most people do, then these are movies you can go out and watch like this week. It's not something you'd have to wait for or go spend money for.
Yeah, so these are just our top five sort of underrated, maybe you've heard of them, haven't watched them, movies that are on Instant Watch right now that you can go watch.
Yep.
Whitney, what's your number five and why?
My number five is the Nicole Holofcener movie Walking and Talking. And I can't remember if I've put this on a list before. So I'm just going to repeat myself because it's really good. It's about two friends. I think it's Anne Heche, right? And Catherine Keener.
Yep.
And they're best friends. And their relationship, I mean, I really think this is because Nicole Holofcener, like, actually understands how to direct women and like is woman and knows how to write for women, right? But their relationship is just spot on. It's so good. And then one of them is going to get married. So it's sort of like a Bridesmaids, but without all of the silliness, without all of the crassness and like sort of lowbrow comedy that's much higher brow, I guess.
Right.
Not that I don't love Bridesmaids too, but it's a similar plot line. I do remember one joke from it being really good where she's worried about her husband's mole, so he gets it removed, and they're at lunch, and he's like, I got something for you, and like gives her like this beautiful box, and she thinks it's gonna be jewelry, and she opens it up, and it's like his mole, and they have this huge fight about it. I think that's like the best like joke gone wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's such, she makes like all of her movies, and especially this one, she just has, like, very realistic situations that you haven't seen portrayed on film yet. Like, that moment where you're trying to make a joke with your, like, husband or your boyfriend, and the joke is just, like, totally misconstrued, so it started out from such, like, a nice, like, place, but then, like, ends up being the biggest fights of your life, like, based on this nice thing you were trying to do.
Yeah.
And I know, like, removing a mole isn't that nice, but, you know, the way he's construed it in his mind, it is for him. And, like, those kind of situations that you don't see all the time, but most people can relate.
Yeah.
I feel like we went and saw Paul Reiser the other night. I feel like her movies are like Paul Reiser stand-up, which makes them sound bad, I know. But he was really good and had, like, these situations that were so relatable that you're like, oh, yeah, I do that.
Yeah, so he came to Wise Guys, and I was gonna go. I love Mad About You, and he's in Aliens and Beverly Hills Cop, and, like, I've read his books when I was a kid. Like, I don't know, I'm a Paul Reiser fan. Whitney was not.
I was not convinced.
She was not gonna go. And then the tickets, like, went half off the day before. And so I got a ticket for her, and she ended up really liking it.
It was awesome.
He's totally polished. Mm-hmm. For somebody who's not known for doing stand-up anymore, he's, like, really funny.
And he was, like, the opposite of J.B. Smoove. J.B. Smoove was, like, trying to give us all of these situations that are not relatable at all, but he was like, you know, like, when your girlfriend has hives and you're having sex with her and you have to scratch her back at the same time, you know that situation, right? And you're just like, what?
You're like, that doesn't happen to me,
but
JB.
Paul Reiser, and same with, like, Nicole Hall, have seen her movies, like, she points out things that you haven't thought about before, but you're like,
but it's
yeah,
still entertaining. Yeah. My number five is a TV show. I watched all three seasons of The United States of Tara in 3 days.
Wow.
3 seasons, 3 days. Completely got sucked in, loved it. It's a
stars. I'll work for a living.
It stars Toni Collette, and she has multiple personalities. And one of them is a housewife from the 1950s. One of them is a Vietnam vet named Buck, who thinks that his penis and testicles were shot off in Nam, and that's why he doesn't have them anymore. And a 16-year-old girl named T, who's, like, really slutty and obnoxious. And then more show up throughout the season. And it was really fantastic. It made me love Toni Collette.
I already liked her.
She was somebody that I liked, but couldn't put my finger on, like, what I loved her in.
Uh-huh.
For me, now it's this, without a question. Mm. My friend Ryan put me onto this, and I watched 2 episodes. And just worked all the way through.
Mm.
Just couldn't stop watching it. I wanted to see what happened. It was so well written. And I don't know. The ending, it was canceled after the 3rd season. So the ending is, I will say, it's so-so.
Mm.
For the situation they were in, it does definitely wraps up and makes do. Which is one of my biggest concerns getting into a new show. Right. Is it going to be a lost situation where it's just like, this sounds
nothing
great,
gets answered.
I'm investing a lot of time, and then it just falls apart. This doesn't. This is a solid show all the way through.
Another solid show, my number four is a television show too, is Home Movies. And I don't know how many people have seen this. Like, I don't know if it's underrated because all of my friends watch it. But I feel like I showed it to my brother and he had never heard of it. And so I feel like there's still an audience for it that hasn't seen it. It's the same guy it's Lauren Bouchard from Bob's Burgers is in it. And it's like sort of that same team, I think, of animators and writers. I think there's a lot of crossover. It was on, what's that called? Cartoon Network, like Adult Swim,
right,
for a while. It's mostly all improvised. And it's about this, like, little crew, these three little kids who make their own movies. Like, productions, movie productions. And Lauren Bouchard plays, like, a coach, a soccer coach, who's good friends with them all. I don't know. It's
Coach McGurk is
Coach McGurk.
One of the funniest characters.
It's so funny.
I've ever seen.
If you like Bob's Burgers at all, you have to watch all of it.
Yeah.
They do musicals. They do, like, all of their movies that they make put them in such adult situations that they shouldn't be in.
But not that's half a, of it. But not in a South Park sort of way.
No.
Like, these it's kids are clean, realistic, kinda. Like, real kids that are just kind of, like, dumb, weird kids.
And the improvisation in the cartoon really works for it. Paula Poundstone is one of the voices. I don't know. It's really good. I don't know if I'm selling it enough.
I don't know how to sell it
without just, like, telling jokes.
Right, and I...
It was you, Melissa, you and your rich bitch dress!
Yeah, give it 3 or 4 episodes and see if you like the style, but I used to not like it.
Really?
Yeah, I used to think it was boring, and it never clicked with me. Uh-huh. I thought the movie jokes were too basic.
Yeah.
I thought, like, their parodies they're doing, I was like, yeah, I get it, Casablanca, like... Give me something like Animaniacs. Their movie jokes are funny.
No!
But the more I watched it, the more I, like, really started to love, like, the peripheral characters.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
the I've girl. Seen it, like, 6 times, I bet.
All the way through?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I love it.
I like it a lot now, and I liked it a lot more now that I had liked Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
I started
because it is really similar.
Well, I used to love Dr. Katz.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bob's Burgers.
Are those the same guys, too?
Yeah, they have, like, the squiggle vision.
Yeah.
And, I think the,
The squiggle vision in home movies starts out in the first couple seasons and then goes away, if that's what you're hating about it.
It wasn't what I hated about it, because Dr. Katz is squiggle vision, too.
Yeah.
I think the, don't quote me on this, but what is the girl's name, the main girl, Lauren?
What?
Who's the main little girl?
The main, Melissa?
Melissa.
Uh-huh.
Her dad, I believe, is the same voice actor who did Dr. Katz.
Oh, okay.
I bet you'd like Dr. Katz.
Yeah, I bet I would.
I wonder if there's a Larry David episode of Katz. You should look into that.
Okay,
I think you'll like that show.
All right.
My number 4 is a movie from 1985 called The Boys Next Door. And it stars Charlie Sheen in 1985, so he's so young.
Baby.
And Maxwell Caulfield, who I had to look up. I was like, how do I know that guy? He's Rex Manning in Empire Records. And it's directed by Penelope Spheeris.
Is she the same one who did Suburbia?
Yes. So she's known for Wayne's World and then movies like The Little Rascals. And like kind of her career sort of like dropped off after mm-hmm. Wayne's World. But she did Suburbia, which is this, like, really gritty, awesome movie about punks. And then she did a documentary called The Decline of the Western Civilization, which is all about punk music. It's one of the best music documentaries I've ever seen. And she's, but after Wayne's World, she got typecast. Like, you make comedies, uh-huh. and now you make bad family comedies. And that
right.
was it for her. But she made this movie called The Boys Next Door, where basically Charlie Sheen and Maxwell Caulfield just go on, like, a murder spree.
Wow.
And it is cool.
I've never seen it.
It's on Instant Watch. That's okay. How I saw it. I think you were gone somewhere, and I was like, all right, today's the day.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Very, like, I give it, like, a solid, like, 4 stars.
4 stars.
4 stars. Oh, I wouldn't say 5. It's not one of my favorite movies.
Out of 15.
And that's not one of my favorite movies of all time, but I thought... It's something that people hadn't heard of. And if you like that kind of stuff, it's worth watching.
Cool. My number 3 is a silent film. So it's me being a little pretentious, I guess. But it's good. It's one of those silent films that people who haven't seen a lot of silent films still like. Because it's fast-paced enough. It's called It, starring Clara Bow.
I haven't seen that.
She was like an It girl of the 20s. Like, she was sort of a...
Does she play the clown?
What? Oh, no, it's It, but it's from the 1920s, with a girl on the front, not a clown. A girl in a flapper dress, but she was sort of like the quintessential flapper, and the whole movie is about whether you have it or you don't have it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she's like a cashier, and this rich guy likes her, and it's fast-paced, it's a romantic comedy, like pretty standard romantic comedy, but just it's silent, but it's... It's so fast-paced, honestly, you hardly notice. And I think, I haven't seen The Artist yet, but I think I've heard a lot of people comparing The Artist to It.
Cool.
Because It is, like, kind of the movie of the 20s that you think about when you think about what, like, women in the 20s were. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I
want to
see
so
that.
Yeah,
you should. Is it long?
No, it's probably 1 hour, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
My number 3 is called Paid in Full. It's directed by Charles Stone III, who has directed Drumline and Mr. 3000 was running back.
You're not selling me on this.
It's starring Mekhi Phifer, Kevin Carroll, and Wood Harris, who plays Avon Barksdale from The Wire.
Oh, cool.
So this is one of those movies that, because of all the movies I watch, like Poetic Justice and Juice and Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood, like, I watch all those movies, they kept saying, like, watch Paid in Full. And I kept going, no, that one looks too low budget. Like, I've seen too many of these, like, direct-to-DVD, like, terrible, you know, like, gang movies. Mm-hmm. And this one turned out to be fantastic. It's a period piece, so it's, like, takes place in the, I think, the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, during, like, the beginning of the crack epidemic. And it's just a really well-put-together movie. Even if you aren't into hip-hop, even if you aren't into movies about, like, drug dealers, like, there's enough outs in the movie for you.
One time I went to see Spike Lee talk at USU, and he said that Drumline, it was at the time Drumline came out, and he said this, it was the only movie that accurately represents African Americans, like, that every other movie in theaters at that time was racist in some way, and he liked Drumline a lot.
I like Drumline.
Really? I've never seen it. I kind of made fun of it.
For a movie that stars Nick Cannon?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's good.
Yeah. I mean, if Spike Lee says it's good, I kind of believe him.
I take it with a grain of salt.
he's interesting, I guess. All right, my number two is this movie called Them. It's a French horror movie.
You went from it to them.
Yeah, I know. Them. It's, so it's about a group of, it's about this husband and wife who live in a house that's a little bit secluded, and it's a home invasion movie, but the people that are invading your home are kids. And, like, that's, like, my favorite genre, evil kids. Do you remember this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's, like, evil kids, you know? Just kids being bad, and you're not really sure why, besides the fact that they just seem to be, like, more animalistic than adults. And they're just, like, terrorizing these people in their home.
And it's scary.
It's scary.
Yeah, that one is one we might want to revisit for Month of Horror.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as disturbing as, like, a Funny Games, which is a different home invasion movie with kids.
Yeah, it's not really one where you're, like, sick to your stomach, right. Like, oh, human beings are awful. This is sort of just, like, what is going on, and
why are they doing this?
I care about this, like, protagonist so much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good call on that one.
Thanks.
My number two is a movie called Love Serenade, which my Heather Adair, who wrote in earlier, and I have a Tuesday night romantic comedy night where she comes over and then I make burritos and we watch a bad romantic comedy.
Uh-huh.
But this week, the first week we did it, I put on Love Serenade because it was on Instant Watch, never heard of it before. It was fantastic. It's this really quirky Australian romantic comedy about these two sisters who live in a house together, and this, like, famous radio DJ moves in next door into their small town.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a nobody but thinks he's a big shot, and they're even more of nobodies, and they think he's God. And the sisters sort of, like, quietly compete over getting with this, like, kind of gross, like, gangly, greasy dude. And it turned out to be, like, hysterical. Like, we were laughing so, so hard. And I ended up buying it on DVD probably 30 minutes into the movie. I said, oh, I gotta own this.
Heather wanted it too, right?
Right. So, yeah, check out Love Serenade. It stars Miranda Otto from, she plays Elowyn in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
When I looked her up, I was like, oh, I do know
her. The blonde lady.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's her.
Oh, cool.
Super funny.
My number one is this movie called Burn Witch Burn. It's another horror movie. But it's from the, I didn't look it up, 60s probably? It's black and white. And it's about this professor who's trying to get tenure. So already I like it. Already, it's right up my alley. And he has a wife who, like, really wants him to do well in his career. So she's turned to witchcraft to try and help him.
Of course.
And when he finds out.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. He finds out and he gets really upset and he, like, takes away all her occult objects. And then all these bad things start happening to him. And his wife turns crazy.
That's cool.
It's the coolest movie, and it's really short, too. I think it's 80 minutes. And it reminds me, I didn't look up anything about it. It reminds me of a William Castle movie, though. It's, like, a little over the top. It starts at the beginning with, like, a warning about witchcraft and how you shouldn't repeat any of the words that you hear in the film, and how if you feel, like, if you start to feel, like, anything, like, as you're watching the movie, then you need to go see a medical professional. Like, it has one of those disclaimers at the beginning, and it's, like, it's so good. It just, it's everything that horror movies from that time period, whatever you think of about horror movies from that time period, it's, like, encapsulated in this movie. I really love it. And it's, but it's not so, it's not Bucket of Blood, which was another one that's on Instant Watch. It's not so over the top that you're like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's actually
good.
It's solid. Actually solid. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say it's creepy because I don't really, movies like that, like, aren't really creepy, right? Like, 13 Ghosts isn't really scary, but, yeah.
I love that there was a time when that was
when creepy. That was scary. I know. I kind of wish I lived back then.
My number one is also a horror movie that is not solid.
Oh, what is it?
It is very corny, and it's called Terror Vision.
Terror Vision!
It's never been put on DVD.
It's the best song.
But it's fantastic. The cast is strange, the director is strange, like, there's no way to hear about this movie, I feel. Just, like, some friend told me about it on a fluke, and I watched it, and it turned out to be amazing. But almost no one I know knows anything about Terror Vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by Ted Nicolau, who, he directed the Subspecies series, which were, like, I believe all direct-to-video. And he was, I think he all worked for the same production company that, like, released all these. But he also released a direct-to-VHS movie that I loved as a kid called Remote, which was basically Home Alone. It was a ripoff of Home Alone, except instead of, like, these intricate traps, he just used all of his remote control, like, puppets and race cars and helicopters. It was so fun. I still have it on VHS. Uh-huh. I found it the other night.
Oh, cool.
And it stars Diane Franklin, who, you know, like, she's been in a lot of stuff, but I know her as the foreign exchange student in Better Off Dead.
Uh-huh.
She's in it, and, Wendy,
The girl's from Back to the Future, right?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't think she's in that one.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. Wendy Woronoff, who's in Eating Raoul and The House of the Devil, she's cool. Her and her husband, like, pop up and stuff, and then, like, you still need to see Eating
Isn't
Raoul.
Isn't Terror Vision the one with all the, like, they have all the sex stuff all over their house? They're
yes!
They're like, you kids have to watch yourself. We're going to go have an orgy.
Yeah, their parents leave their kids at home because they're, like, off to, like, go swing.
It's and then so weird.
The set alone, the set of this movie, because most of the movie takes place in this, like, 70s swinging purple bachelor pad with, like, this, like, gross pool in the room.
All this,
like,
sex stuff everywhere, but
and these, like, disgusting paintings on the
is
wall.
Is it even,
like,
rated R? I don't think it is.
I bet it is.
Oh, you do?
If I had to guess, I bet it would be, just for, like, the weird sex stuff that's all over it. But it's crazy. It's got a wonderful theme song, and it's just, like, one of the funniest.
It's a wonderful theme song.
Wonderful theme song that Whitney so graciously delivered earlier.
I like the way you said that, though.
Thank you.
A wonderful theme song, a fantastic cast, and it really warms the heart. I give it 2 thumbs up.
That's my number one.
I'm just making fun of you.
That's my number one.
I agree. It's an awesome movie.
Oh, good. I'm glad you think so.
No, let's not destroy our marriage.
Okay, let us know if you've seen something on Instant Watch lately that's worth watching. Email us at franklymydearpodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you like. And we will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Stick around.
Touch me lips to mine. I said, mommy kiss papi all the time. Press her sweet lips to mine. I said, mommy kiss papi all the time.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average. Hotter than nitrate and colder than ice skates. And why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average. Hotter than nitrate, colder than ice skates. Why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average.
Hotter than nitrate, colder than ice skates. Why is no lightweight? An atheist neither. Some movies are good, and some movies suck. Life is cinematic, and this director's cut. Tim Burton flow, till curtains close. Heartless like the Tin Man beating on a brick road. You could say that I'm sorta old-fashioned, the way I move in silence. Charlie silence. Chaplin, Incredible Hulk. Call me Bruce Banner. The way we go green and even recycle rappers. Alive and well when we wreck it on a mic. And these cats dance Napoleon Dynamite. And these cats can't compare to what we be like. Attack of the Clones and they want another rewrite. In school, I was Ferris Bueller. And these fake thugs were Breakfast Club riding scooters. Kurt Russell with the pulled muscle. You ain't gotta be in Little China for the big trouble.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average. Hotter than nitrate and colder than ice skates. And why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average. Hotter than nitrate, colder than ice skates. Why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average.
Hotter than nitrate, colder than ice skates. Why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
This is my favorite jam, Sam, so play it again. I'm armed with the pad and the pen, playing to win. Lyrical verite, your children should run away. We march up on the nose like we're Citizen Kane. March up on the nose like you're Citizen Kane. If you're mad as hell and can't take it, then take it away. Cannibal rappers wanna bite or attack me. Time to break out the fava beans at Chianti. Brando, Commando, I'm Rocky meets Rambo. Joan of Arc passion with a Clark Gable fashion. Drowned, sorrows, you're mad at me good. Cause if you think I wouldn't, man, I Natalie Wood. Rise like a phoenix, flow like a river. Packing Viper bars, guaranteed I delivered. A cloak and dagger rapper slapping flappers to clappers. Fritz Slang calling, that's a rap on actors. This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average. Hotter than nitrate and colder than ice skates. And why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average. Hotter than nitrate, colder than ice skates. Why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
This is cinematic, reels in the attic. Systematically, we'd be well above average.
Hotter than nitrate, colder than ice skates. Why is no lightweight? An atheist neither.
39 steps to greatness. Hide out in hibernating alien stasis. And wait it out, cause I developed a talent. And I developed a callus. And from Cali to Dallas, man, I'm Malik with malice. Cruising in a JPG. Your bar's a little Nemo, boy, they put me to sleep. I'm Pepe Le San Juan, a Don Juan nada. My roots begin in the Granada, partner. Full metal suit jacket. Fat guy swinging the bars, mobbing wherever we are. Gone with the wind, smoke a J in the breeze. I got a friend in the biz and a name for my keys. Can you hear me now? I'm rapping in Dolby sound, can't nobody turn me down. I make Criterion rap. I'm typing in Final Draft and spitting Suspiria tracks. Fritz Slang!